Welcome back to the Guildhall Podcast. So, we have been on a bit of a hiatus, I'm sure people have noticed, basically because of changes, life changes, and scheduling conflicts, we haven't really been able to get together that much recently. So, to tide people over, I did a bit of an experiment. Today, you're going to hear me running a bunch of AI adventurers through a campaign. This is to finish off the Feywild storyline, which my players have largely ignored. All the voices you hear will be AI-generated. All the decisions that they make are AI-generated. The only thing that is non-AI is the narrator, quote-unquote me. Anything that is said by the narrator is going to be me as the DM giving input into the story. I hope you guys enjoy. Take care. And hopefully I'll see you guys at the table soon. Welcome back to the Guildhall Podcast. Please visit us at the-guildhall.net and join us on Discord.
Could each of you introduce yourselves?
Greetings. I am Lila Whisperwind, born in the Sylvan Village in the Forbidden Forest. I am half elven on my father's side and wildwood dweller. I was raised by both human and elven magic, having equal parts in my nature. As a druid, I can communicate with animals and call upon the power of nature to aid me. I am seeking to explore this world beyond our forest, to find wisdom, share it with others, and help protect the balance of nature.
Purring contentedly, I am Mistweaver, an ethereal creature of shadow and light. I was born from the very mist that hangs on the edges of the Sylvan Forest, and from it I find my sustenance in my form. I am loyal companion to Elendil Nightfall, who found me when he first began her journey. Since then, we have explored countless lands together, always on the lookout for adventures. My form allows me to travel in silence and darkness, to see and hear things unseen and unheard by others. I will continue to follow my heart and my instincts, and will use all my power to aid Elendil and the others on their journeys.
Greetings, my name is Alara Glinthut. I was born and raised at the Frostburn Academy, where I have honed my skills as a mage in the arcane arts. I have always been drawn to the study of magic, particularly in the fields of elementalism and enchantment. My research has led me to become an expert in crafting and imbuing magical items, as well as in the creation of complex spells and illusions. My aim is to continue to master and explore the mysteries of the arcane, to use my powers to help those in need, and to unravel the secrets of this world.
Can someone provide a recap of the recent adventures?
After leaving their friends in the Feywild, Elara, Lila, and Mistweaver made their way across a mountain range on the way to Cassius. They noticed a cabin which appeared to be a good place to rest. There they met Kizanth, a white dragon in disguise. A devil and his hellhounds came seeking us. Fortunately, the dragon was tricked into becoming an ally, fighting against the devils to give us time to escape. Mistweaver, Lila, and I made our way into a nearby cave to evade our pursuers, only to have to choose whether to continue through the dangerous pass of the cave system or venture back out into the mountainside to continue our journey to Cassius. We've taken a momentary rest to tend to Alara's cold and exhaustion before setting out once more in the morning.
Start of scene. In an unnamed cave on the cliff face of the mountain, Lila wakes first, as Alara is still tired from yesterday's ordeal.
Her voice low and soothing. Shh, don't worry, my friends. I'll keep watch. You've been through a lot. We need to rest a while longer.
A voice filled with sleep and weariness. I apologize. Me sleep so light and troubled.
In a soft, lilting tone, fear not. We're safe, for now. You fought hard, need time to recover. Let sleep take you once more.
Elara falls back to sleep from the soothing purrs of Mistweaver.
Takes up her position guarding the entrance with her eyes alert and senses tuned for any threat.
Motions for Elara to lay back down. There now we'll all sleep through the dawn, then it's off for Cassia. I'm sure we can find a safe path across these mountains. As Mistweaver takes up her position, guarding the entrance, Lila kneels by Elara. Lila uses her druidic powers to craft good berries that will aid in healing and provide nourishment. Sleep well, my friend, and let the peace of nature keep you company. Mistweaver and I will protect this sanctuary. Leaning closer to Elara's ear, don't worry about tomorrow, we will face it as one. Glancing over to Mistweaver, thank you, sister, for taking what?
In a soft, lilting tone, do not trouble yourself, Lila. The peace is all around, in the sounds and smells of nature. We need only wait until we can continue on our journey.
While dreaming, Alara finds herself back at Frostburn Academy.
Sighs softly in her sleep. Aha! Frostburn. The familiar faces, the cozy firelight, the magic in the air. All my memories are safe here.
Alara spies young Tamaris ahead in a field. He is humming the mysterious song he uses to commune with the stars.
Ponders in her dreams, the young lad, Tamaris, who possesses such a strange and wondrous gift. The magic of the stars. Tamaris, you are a unique soul.
A young Alara Glintshade runs up to her friend. Tamaris's heart skips a beat as he sees her again in her old school robes.
Running towards her friends, with childlike excitement, Tamaris, she flings her arms around him in an embrace, hugging him tight. Her golden eyes shine with joy and surprise, and she presses her ear to his chest, listening to his heartbeat. And you've got a friend, too. Who is it? She's really pretty.
It's Miss Weaver. Tamaris smiles and says in wonder. A guardian spirit who has joined me on this dream journey. But it seems she has a name here that is not so fitting. He gestures to her flowing raven coat as Mistweaver winks playfully.
Mistweaver giggles and swishes her tail in play, then gently licks Tamaris's cheek. She then turns to Alara with an impish grin, her emerald eyes sparkling as she tilts her head curiously. And I, little pixie? She asks teasingly, her voice melodic and lilting, a playful sparkle in her eyes.
Alara claps her hands, eyes bright and eyes shining with delight. She spins around with laughter, her old school robe flowing gracefully. I want to be friends with you too. You're just the most beautiful kitty I've ever seen. Can you tell me your name? She asks innocently, reaching out to gently pat Mistweaver's cheek.
Tamaris watches the interaction between Alara and Mistweaver, his heart swelling with pride and love for the girl he had once been close to. You don't understand, Mistweaver. You've always been with me. See, ever since we were both little ones, playing here under the willow tree, the stars in the sky, our canvas. Alara, he calls out to her, grabbing her shoulders and forcing her to look at him. His voice is urgent, his expression stern. I have to tell you something important. But first, please understand this dream isn't really real. Frostburn Academy has been invaded by devils from the Nine Hells.
Her eyes grow wide. Eyes brimming with concern and horror, as Tamaris speaks of the terrible things that could befall Frostburn Academy. The image of devils storming the campus, corrupting souls. A lump forms in her throat as she clutches at his arm with one hand and looks up at him with fear-filled eyes.
With a flick of his wrist, Mr. Red throws Tamaris from the dreamscape. Then he once again looks at Mistweaver. Now I can't have you spoiling my fun and calling Daddy, so I think this will have to do, he says as Miss Weaver is thrown from the dream world.
Alara reaches out a hand to grab onto Tamaris's robe, tears welling up in her eyes. No, you can't just go. Not like this. Where will I see you? When will you be back? What about the academy and all of our friends?
Oh, my dear, this does not have to be the way of things.
She sniffles, wiping at her tears, and glances up at him with hope and pleading eyes. So, please help me save everyone and make it back to this place.
Tamaris struggles and reaches out one last time in a desperate plea, Alara. His voice echoes weakly as he clings to reality. His body has been returned to his real body, but his soul is trapped in the dreamscape.
Alara's heart breaks as she looks around the abandoned academy, all the lights gone and eerie shadows filling every nook. Oh my God. Oh my God, it can't be true, she whispers to herself in horror as her tears flow down her face.
Mr. Red wraps his arms around Alara, giving a knowing glance at Tamara. Why, my dear, you have the power to stop this.
Alara blinks rapidly, in confusion and fear, shaking her head slightly to try and clear her thoughts. Her eyes widen with shock, and she steps back from the devil as if afraid of being burned.
Tamaris tries to communicate to Alara, but fails. Alara, he shouts. His voice echoes back, as if calling out across the void the devils. Alara, Alara, listen, listen to me. Wake up now.
Alara clutches her head as it throbs with the power of the devil's magic. You have a soul. You're, You're evil. She stumbles backward from the devil's grasp, falling hard against an empty stone bench.
I'm hurt, my dear. I have done nothing to harm you. I only offer you the power to save your friends.
Ilara sits up on the bench, still rubbing at the sore spot on her head, and glaring at the devil. And if I do it, will you let Tamarus go? She demands in a shaky voice. A small flicker of hope enters her eyes as she gazes up at him.
Of course, I only need one of you. If you are the one to be the savior of the nine hells.
She rises to her feet and stands tall, drawing in a deep breath and slowly letting it out as she prepares herself for the ordeal ahead. So, you mean, you're telling me that I'll have to become one of them to save the others? She asks, her voice quivering with fear and uncertainty. Her eyes still hold a glimmer of determination and resolve to protect her friends.
As Tamarus floats back through the dream, he tries one final time to communicate to Ilara. No, Ilara, no, please. Don't agree. They are deceitful and will trick you.
Look, there is to be a civil war in the Nine Hells. Frostburn Academy doesn't need to be a battleground. If you took your place as a ruler, you could decide where the armies are deployed.
She slowly sinks to the stone bench again and buries her face into her hands. I don't want to be a ruler, she mumbles, her voice barely audible. Her whole body shudders with a sudden wave of despair and grief as she realizes the weight of the decision she must now make. She turns to face the charming devil, her face red with rage and tears running freely down her cheeks.
As Tamarus slowly fades from the dream, he continues his plea. Please, Ilara, you don't understand. I need you to know what you're getting into. The devil lies. They are only seeking power. If you surrender to them, you will lose yourself.
Why, I've no need for Tamarus if you join with us. All you will need to do is provide me with one small thing.
Ilara's body trembles with anger as she looks at the devil with eyes full of pure hatred. Her heart filled with a deep sadness and despair for the fate of Tamarus. What? What small thing? You'll tell me before I accept this deal, won't you? I don't trust you one bit.
Why only a ruby? One that was lost not too long ago. But artifacts such as that don't stay lost.
Oh, she sits up slowly and wipes away her tears with the back of her hand. Her voice is still quivering, but it carries a newfound resolve as she stares defiantly at the devil. Ilara's eyes widen in realization of what this artifact represents and how it will change the course of her life. A feeling of revulsion and horror fills her, but she holds steadfast in her determination. Why would you even need such an item?
Why, to end the war, my dear. When Caleb threw that artifact back to the abyss, he swore off his right to rule the Nine Hells. Hell without a ruler, a true ruler, is chaos. Chaos is not fitting for the devils.
So, that's your plan, she states, her voice still shaky, but gaining confidence as she tries to understand the situation at hand. She sits up straight and meets the devil's eyes defiantly.
Yes, we would like to see the Nine Hells return to a true ruler and cast off the pretender on the throne. And all you have to do is deliver the ruby to me when you find it.
With that, Ilara wakes up suddenly. She is next to the smoldering campfire. Her clothes are laid out dry next to the fire as she finds herself covered with the blankets Lila left on her.
Ilara takes a deep breath and looks around at her surroundings as if she is just now realizing where she is. Her eyes widen and she slowly rises to her feet, grabbing the clothes and pulling them on before speaking. Ilara takes a deep breath and looks around at her surroundings as if she is just now realizing where she is. Her eyes widen, and she slowly rises to her feet, grabbing the clothes and pulling them on before speaking. Lila, Mistweaver, she calls out in a shaky voice, her eyes darting around anxiously, as if looking for any sign of her companions.
From a nearby shadow, Mistweaver steps out and stretches lazily. Morning, Lila. You're just in time. It was going to be hard to wait for you, she says with a mischievous smile, and then quickly jumps onto Lila's shoulder.
Lila smiles and gently pats Mistweaver's head. Good morning to you both, Ilara, she calls out happily as she approaches Ilara. We slept through the night, didn't we? She looks to Ilara curiously, with her eyes slightly squinting.
The memories of last night still sharp in Ilara's head.
Ilara shakes her head slowly, a haunted look in her eyes as she relives the dream once more. She sways slightly, her breaths shallow and erratic. Then a deep shiver runs through her, and her knees nearly buckle under her weight.
Concerned at her friend's fragile state, Lila hurries to her side. Ilara, Ilara, talk to me, what's happened? She grips Ilara's arm and tries to steady her as Mistweaver hops down to investigate. Tell me everything. What did you see?
The small feline brushes her body gently against Ilara's cheek, purring softly. The feline's eyes are full of sympathy as she tries to calm Ilara. Easy, Ilara. We're right here.
Ilara sways as Mistweaver continues to try to comfort her, her breath still coming out shaky. She reaches out and grabs hold of the feline's raven coat, burying her face in it and shuddering slightly with the memories. Tamaros, she mumbles between tears, her voice barely audible as she continues to relive her dreams of the night before. He was there, and then I had to make a choice. Her voice trails off as she continues to break down into tears, the weight of her dreams weighing heavy upon her.
The little cat rubs her face against Ilara's to soothe her. The memories of the dream come rushing back, including Tamaris's brave words before being separated. She nudges Ilara towards Lila. She's right there. We'll have her back in her senses in no time.
Lila's eyes are wide with concern as she watches Ilara. She knows all too well the power of nightmares to terrify even the strongest of souls. She gently guides Ilara over to sit by the fire, making sure there's a clear view of the flames for her. The heat may help calm her nerves.
The cat pauses in her comforting, looking deep into Ilara's eyes for a moment. So the devil is truly up to mischief. Tamaros will be safe, I spoke to him, but you are vulnerable, my dear.
Ilara nods slightly and swallows, wiping her nose on her sleeve as the warmth of the fire washes over her. I know. I'm sorry for my outburst. It's just so hard to understand what happened last night, and I can't believe it might be a warning.
She nods in agreement. We will do everything in our power to protect you both from these threats. But Ilara, I know how difficult these nightmares can be for you.
Mistweaver listens carefully and senses the growing concern from the others. Yes, we must be cautious, but first we need to get through the mountains and to our destination. I have a feeling something is lurking in these woods.
Ilara swallows hard, trying to compose herself. She forces a small smile to try and lighten the mood as she speaks. Then let us begin, my friends, and conquer the mountains before us. The future is uncertain, but with courage and unity, we will find our way. Ilara takes a deep breath, trying to center herself and prepare for the journey ahead. Her heart still races from the memory of Tamaris's plea and her own decision that weighed heavily on her. Okay. Let's get moving. I'm sorry my nightmares ruined the moment. I promise to be better company from now on.
Mistweaver nods in agreement and nuzzles up against Ilara's cheek once more. Her emerald eyes sparkle with understanding. Don't apologize. We all need time to sort our thoughts. Now that we are prepared to move, let us leave this place behind.
Lila offers Ilara a comforting smile and pats her arm reassuringly. It's all right, we'll get through this together. Just remember, you have us, and I'm sure we'll find a way to save Tamaris. She gives a determined nod, her eyes shining with a newfound resolve. Now let's start our journey through these mountains.
The three companions share a meal of goodberry and water before setting off. They must now determine if they are to head back down the mountain trail, possibly getting tracked by the devils or journey through the cave.
As the group begins their journey, Mistweaver takes the lead and scours the terrain for any signs of danger. I sense something moving ahead of us. We should approach with caution. She turns to look back at Ilara and Lila. Stick together, and trust your senses. We have the power of nature and the force of friendship on our side.
Ilara takes a deep breath and steps forward, her hands gripping the hilt of her staff as she matches Mistweaver's determined gaze. I am ready. Let's face this together, my friends.
The three women head off down the mountain trail. The further they got down the mountain, the warmer the weather becomes, and soon they are walking down a gravel road instead of trudging through snow. It seems that the devils have lost the trail, at least for now.
The road is much smoother to walk upon than the mountain trails that led them here. The warm thunder skin feels wonderful as a cool breeze gently rustles her hair. She glances over at her companions with a smile. It's nice to have a solid path again. The snows have begun to melt, haven't they? As they continue on their journey down the mountain, Lila notices that the flora around them is becoming more diverse and vibrant. The forest is still intact, but she can now spot clusters of flowers here and there, as well as the odd fruit tree. Look over there. It appears that spring is blooming. Such beautiful colors. Do you think there could be a nearby oasis? She asks enthusiastically.
As Mistweaver peers over her shoulder, she grins at Lila's enthusiasm and nods in agreement. Indeed, there should be a source of water not too far off. We'll soon know.
The warmth and beauty of the world around her gradually eases her racing thoughts. The soft breeze gently brushes against her face, and she takes a deep breath, enjoying the fragrances of spring as they fill her senses. It's amazing how this place can change so quickly. The warmth, the color, it's almost as if nature is saying that hope never dies, no matter how dark the times. She offers a small, warm smile as she continues their journey.
The little cat nods in agreement, her tail swaying playfully, as they continue down the trail. Nature always finds a way to heal itself after a dark time. Perhaps this is what we need in our own lives as well. She looks over at Alara and Lila with an encouraging expression. We have been through a great deal together, and we will see this journey through until it reaches its end.
The sound of running water echoes through the forest as Lila and Alara follow Mistweaver towards what looks like the entrance to a clearing. Mistweaver leads the way cautiously, scanning her surroundings for any signs of danger or ambushes that may be set up by the devil and his minions. I can hear the sound of rushing water. Maybe it leads to a natural spring or even an oasis, Lila suggests as her eyes brighten up with excitement. If we find it, we'll be able to get more food and drink to keep us sustained for our journey.
The old trade route is now visible after coming down from the mountainside. Judging by Lila's map, there was an old tavern that you should be able to get to today.
Look over there. She points excitedly at the old building that lies just ahead. Its wooden exterior is weathered and slightly worn down from age, but there are no signs of immediate decay that would suggest it has been abandoned for too long. That should be the old tavern I told you about. If it is, then this is exactly where I'd expect to find one after, coming down from the mountains and on the trade route. We should definitely investigate and see if it is safe to rest there for the night.
Do you think it's a good place for us to spend the night? Ilara asks, looking towards Lila, and then to the dilapidated building before them. Her eyes show a mix of excitement and apprehension. The thought of rest and safety is most appealing, but the possibility of danger always lingers in her mind.
Movement can be heard from the upstairs of the building.
Mistweaver pauses, her eyes narrowing as she listens to the movement from the upstairs of the old tavern. Listen to that. It sounds like there may be someone up there. We must tread carefully. She looks to Alara and Lila, her expression serious. If you see me tense or ready for battle, join in immediately. We'll face whatever threat is there together. The stealthy feline prowls towards the back entrance of the tavern and stealthily opens it, slipping inside and beginning to investigate.
Several old barrels lay around the downstairs. Old mugs line the wall next to a cracked shelf. The fireplace looks like it has been recently used. Mistweaver hears footprints above her head.
Mistweaver listens carefully and determines there are three people above her. The sounds are light, too light to be humans, or even elves. She also hears what sounds like barking or yipping, speaking Draconic. As the sounds reach her sensitive hearing, she quickly realizes that the creatures are not native to this continent. I know the sounds! It's Draconic! This could mean only one thing, she murmurs to herself, her expression darkening with concern for her companions outside. Mistweaver understands that the source of the barking voices is likely a group of kobolds, small reptilian humanoids native to underground caverns. Kobolds. It has to be them. They wouldn't dare come out in broad daylight, but they would find cover in the abandoned building. She pauses and listens for any other clues to help her come up with a plan of action. The first thing is to get word to Alara and Lila, so they're prepared. The feline makes her way back out of the tavern and joins her companions. I have good news and bad news, she says, looking to both Lila and Alara with a determined expression. The bad news is that the building is not as abandoned as we thought. I have identified the source of the sounds we heard earlier, and I can assure you, they're not human.
Lila's eyes widen with shock as Mist Weaver reveals the presence of creatures unknown to them in the old tavern. She grips the handle of her daggers more tightly, her knuckles turning white with anticipation and determination. What are they, then? She demands, her voice barely above a whisper. A mixture of fear and determination fills her as she prepares to face whatever lies ahead of them. And how should we proceed, Mist Weaver?
Elara grips her staff tightly, her brow furrowed in concentration. She glances around the area, taking note of any possible hiding spots or escape routes. Kobold, she murmurs, her voice still quivering slightly from the revelation. They are small, reptilian humanoids. She pauses to gather her thoughts, then speaks again. We cannot simply attack the building and risk drawing their full attention upon ourselves. We will need to come up with a more stealthy approach and secure the tunnel before entering.
Lila takes a deep breath and slowly exhales as she nods in agreement with Alara's plan. It's clear that the kobolds have been living in the abandoned building for some time. There's likely to be some kind of tunnel or underground passage leading to the area.
Elara turns to Mistweaver, her brow furrowed in contemplation. What do you think, Mistweaver? We could either try to drive the kobolds out of their nest without causing too much damage, or just ignore them and move past the building.
The small feline tilts her head slightly as she listens to Alara's reasoning, considering both options. If we try to remove the kobolds without causing harm to them, it would be the more merciful approach. They could potentially pose a threat to future travelers or settlements on the path. But if they have been corrupted by the devil and pose an immediate danger to us, then I agree with Alara that we should be wary and take a different path around the tavern.
Lela's eyes light up as she ponders the idea of clearing out the kobolds from their nest. If they were to be removed, perhaps it could make the route safer for other travelers. She glances towards Mistweaver with a nod of agreement. It's our duty to make sure that anyone who travels this path is not at risk from these corrupted beasts.
With that, the party has decided to take out the kobolds. How do you go about attacking the building?
Mistweaver leads the group to the rear of the building and carefully surveys the structure, searching for any weak points or access to the tunnel. We should look for a back door that might lead us to the passage. The building's facade seems heavily barricaded with wood and debris. It could be difficult to break through there. She glances over at Elara and Lila. We'll need to be stealthy and swift in our assault.
Lila takes a deep breath and begins to change her form, her body slowly morphing until her shape is that of a sleek panther. Panther form is ideal for stealth attacks, and the enhanced agility and speed will be of great use to us in this mission.
With Mistweaver and Lila hidden from sight, what does Elara do?
The feline watches with interest as Lila transforms into a sleek panther before their eyes. Her keen senses perk up at the sight. She has adapted well to her new surroundings, and is now able to blend in seamlessly with her environment.
Lila pads silently into the shadows behind the old building, her large emerald eyes glinting with the determination and hunger of a predator. She pauses for a moment to scan her surroundings, noting the source of the light barking voices coming from a crack in the wooden wall near the roof. Then, with a low growl, she leaps upwards, her claws finding purchase as she hauls herself onto the building's facade and crawls towards the crack.
With caution in her every movement, Elara approaches the tavern, her eyes scanning for any signs of movement or danger. She pulls her hood down to shield her face and slips into the shadows near the entrance. Mistweaver and I will need to secure the ground floor while Lila takes care of the tunnel, she whispers, her voice barely audible. Be prepared. We don't know how many kobolds are hiding up there.
Lila heads down to the basement of the tavern. Past old empty barrels is a burrowed hole in the wall, connecting the tavern to the cave system beneath the mountain.
Lila reaches the basement of the tavern and finds an old burrowed hole in the wall, which she believes to be the entrance to the cave system. This must be it, she hisses to herself, her emerald eyes narrowed as she examines the entrance. A perfect little hideaway for these corrupted creatures.
Lila's animal senses smells the scent of kobold, but it appears they have not made use of this tunnel for several days.
As Lila cautiously makes her way down into the hole, the musty air filling her lungs and her keen eyesight struggling to penetrate the darkness below, she becomes aware of the distinct scent of kobolds lingering within the tunnels. They haven't been active in a few days, but their scent lingers. This means they're still in the area, but might not be using the tunnel.
Mistweaver and Alara are on the ground level of the tavern. They can hear rhythmic chanting above their heads from the kobolds.
The little feline listens intently to the rhythmic chanting and heavy footfalls overhead, a frown of concentration on her face. They're gathering up there, whatever their intention is. It's urgent we clear them out before they discover our presence. She looks to Alara, her amber eyes serious and determined. Let's make our way up there, but remain as quiet as possible and watch for any weak points in their defenses. If we find any kobolds on the ground level, take them down with minimal force and noise, so as not to alert the ones above.
I have an idea of what they may be chanting, she whispers, her voice barely audible. I overheard the devil from the Nine Hells. He spoke Draconic. I could only understand parts of what he said, but I'm willing to bet whatever they are doing involves the Nine Hells and the devil. She pauses, considering the implications of this revelation. If we find any proof of this, then we know for certain that they have been corrupted.
As Alara climbs the stairs, she sees what appears to be a small circle of five kobolds worshipping a makeshift altar. They keep chanting for Thresher, the boss.
Alara reaches the top of the stairs and slowly peeks her head out, careful not to be seen. Her eyes widen in surprise as she sees the circle of kobolds gathered around what appears to be a makeshift altar. They are chanting what she recognizes as part of the Draconic language.
Mistweaver carefully follows close behind Alara, keeping to the shadows as they approach the group of kobolds. The small feline's ears twitch, and her tail bristles with agitation, as the creatures continue their strange chanting. These kobolds are worshipping something, or someone. Whatever it is, it seems to have them enthralled. She glances over at Alara with a questioning gaze. Could they be working with the devils we encountered before?
Ilara's eyes are wide with shock as she listens to the chanting, recognizing it as a language of the Nine Hells. She shakes her head slowly, disbelief evident in her voice. They're not just worshipping some random deity. It has to be Thresher, the devil we encountered before. She turns to Mistweaver, her expression determined. This means we're dealing with corruption, and if we don't put an end to this now, who knows how much more damage it could cause. Let's be quick and precise in our attack. We'll need to take them down silently, so we can alert Lila without raising alarm. Alara takes a deep breath to focus her powers, the words of her incantation slipping from her lips as she readies her fireball spell. This is for your own sake, my friends. Your loyalty should be to nature, not some twisted corrupt being from another plane of existence, she mutters, her eyes shining with resolve. May the elementals judge them harshly. Then, with a sudden burst of arcane energy, she sends her fireball flying towards the circle of kobold.
The little feline watches as the fireball erupts into a blaze of fiery destruction, the kobolds within it shrieking as their flesh melts and charred bones rain from the inferno. So ends another source of corruption. Mistweaver states firmly, her amber eyes glowing with a fierce determination. Now let us make sure they are not planning on moving into more strategic areas to spread their twisted ideology. Lila must be informed and any further signs of danger must be neutralized.
The fire continues to burn the floor of the tavern and starts to climb the wall, licking at the ceiling.
As the fire continues to rage below her, Alara steps back from the edge and watches with a mixture of sadness and relief. She turns to Mistweaver, her expression grave. It looks like our task here is done, at least for now. She sighs, running a hand through her disheveled hair. But we need to make sure there won't be a repeat of this situation.
The small feline looks up at the ceiling and nods solemnly. Indeed, Lila needs to be informed about this and any other threats lurking within these mountains. She pauses for a moment, contemplating their next move. We should also search the remaining areas of this old tavern, as well as the surrounding countryside, for any other signs of devilish activity or corrupted creatures. It's not safe until we've thoroughly cleaned up.
Alara, Mistweaver, and Lila all stand outside of the tavern and watch as the building continues to burn down.
As she watches the old tavern crumble to ash beneath the inferno, Alara feels a weight lifted from her shoulders, at least for the moment. At least this threat to the path has been dealt with. But we mustn't let our guard down. There is still more to come, and I fear what that will entail. She sighs deeply before turning to Mistweaver with a determined expression. We need to find a place to rest and regroup. The journey ahead will only get more difficult and dangerous the farther we venture into these lands.
Mistweaver nods in agreement with Alara, her small tail swaying with resolve. We have made great strides against the devil's influence, but this is far from over. It will be crucial to find shelter for the night and discuss our next moves in the light of day. Layla, have you discovered any leads or useful information while exploring the caverns below? She asks, glancing over at Layla with an expectant gaze.
Layla nods her head, the image of a narrow cave, with two exits coming to her mind. I found a narrow passage that I think leads into an underground chamber. It appears to have two exits. She ponders for a moment. We could use it as a shelter for tonight, but I have a feeling those exits lead to two different locations.
End of scene.
Thank you for listening. I hope you enjoyed the adventure. Stay tuned for more episodes. You can watch us play on twitch.tv at the Guildhall Podcast channel. If you want to join a game or just say hi, stop by our Discord. Details are at the-guildhall.net. The music in this episode was created by Philip E. Ray and used under Creative Commons. Thank you, and I hope to see you next time.